I didn't know we had so many comedians, did you? All right. Gary was sharing with me before services that he will be going into the doctor, to the fitted for the prosthetic on Tuesday. And if everything goes well, no blisters, then he would go into rehab for a period of time. And certainly his goal is that he can once again lead singing standing up. And so certainly I think that's a good goal. I think that's something we should be praying for on his behalf. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, we know that Gary's been through a lot, as has Joe, and we just pray your blessings on them. We pray that everything may go well with them as they get this prosthetic leg fitted. And Father, we pray that he will be able to get around and be able to do the things that he wants to do to bring glory and honor to you. Father, we're thankful for those who have been ill and who are getting better. There are still some who are struggling. We pray particularly for Sandra McEwen, for Dottie Jones, for Jackie McAfee, for Jamie Fillow, others that I may not be aware of. Father, we pray your blessings on us as we study from your word this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. I apologize. I had no idea the white would not show up like that. I thought it would show up well. Can you see that at all? You can see it okay? All right. This is certainly true, most of the time anyway, yet there are some wonderful Christian parents whose children have proven to be a shame to them rather than a blessing because of their ungodly and rebellious attitudes. A foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him, Proverbs 17 and verse 25. He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness, Proverbs 20 and verse 20. You know, for a long time, I struggled with the realization that faithful Christians sometimes have children who are unfaithful Christians or not Christians at all. And often the conclusion is made that such parents undoubtedly have skeletons in the closet, they may be hypocrites, or they are failures as parents. And it seems to matter little that those parents may have other children who are faithful to the Lord. And as a result, those parents often regard themselves or are regarded by others as parents who have made monumental mistakes in parenting. And my question is, who hasn't made mistakes in parenting? Over the years, I have observed many young people who are faithful Christians whose parents might be regarded as fringe Christians or maybe not Christians at all. And I know that you have known some people like that as well. So in that case, can we properly conclude that those parents provided the spiritual and moral leadership that resulted in their children being faithful to the Lord, even though they weren't Christians? No, I don't think that that's the conclusion we can draw at all. But I believe that we can draw this conclusion. Every child raised in a Christian home by Christian parents will not automatically become a faithful Christian any more than we can say that every child who is raised in a non-Christian home will never become a Christian. We're all familiar with the passage that you saw at the first in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. I believe in our brotherhood, there's been some incorrect teaching about this passage that may have resulted in unnecessary or compounded despair to many godly parents. The general understanding of this passage has been that Christian parents who have unfaithful children have grossly failed. Now, if that were true, then every parent with ungodly children must be a terrible parent, and every parent with godly children, including those who are not Christian parents, must be wonderful parents. Which parent does not make mistakes in the raising of his or her children? Is it possible that some children are committed to the Lord in spite of their parents instead of because of their parents? That's certainly not the case with all, but I think there are some like that. If that is true, then the reverse is also true. Some children are not committed to the Lord in spite of their parents instead of because of their parents. How can a parent have success with one child but be a complete failure with another if they are not good parents? Such teaching closely resembles the Calvinistic philosophy that certain chosen people are destined to be saved, while the remainder are destined to be lost, and there's nothing that they can do about it to change the situation. That's the Calvinistic philosophy. The conclusion of this teaching is that children who are properly trained, either will not depart, or if they do, they will eventually return to God. And this is tantamount to teaching the impossibility of apostasy. I have a reading that Sandra Martin gave to me, and I appreciate that. It's a very good reading. It's entitled, "To My Child, Things I Can and Cannot Do." I can share your life, but I cannot live it for you. I can teach you things, but I cannot make you learn. I can give you direction, but I cannot always lead you. I can allow you freedom, but I cannot account for it. I can take you to worship, but I cannot make you believe. I can teach you right from wrong, but I cannot decide for you. I can give you love, but I cannot force it upon you. I can teach you to share, but I cannot make you unselfish. I can teach you to respect, but I cannot force you to show honor. I can tell you the facts of life, but I cannot build your reputation. I can tell you about lofty goals, but I cannot achieve them for you. I can teach you to obey, but I cannot answer for your actions. I can warn about your sins, but I cannot make your morals. I can love you as my child, but I cannot place you in God's family. I can teach you about Jesus, but I cannot make him your Savior. I can teach you about prayer, but I cannot make you pray. I can tell you how to live, but I cannot give you eternal life. In Barnes Notes, many of you are familiar with Barnes Notes, quite a commentary, an old commentary, but a very good one. He defines train as to educate or to initiate. And his way, in Proverbs 22 and verse 9, meaning the path specifically fitted for or specially belonging to the individual's character. In pulpit commentary, some of you may be familiar with that older commentary, says train means to give, to be tasted. And his way means future calling or station, natural inclination or capacity. Kylan Dalish, well-known commentators of the Old Testament, means give to the child conformably to his way. If this verse carries a spiritual meaning, and certainly we believe that it does, it is a general principle or an axiom, but not an ironclad rule without exceptions, like many other proverbs are. And we have a biblical example of a perfect parent with an unfaithful child. Although Israel is usually recognized as the physical descendant of Abraham, he is also regarded as the spiritual son of God. And God told Moses to inform Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. Let my son go, that he may serve me. But you have refused to let him go. Behold, I will kill your son, your firstborn." So what kind of child or what kind of son was Israel? In the book of Hosea, in Hosea the 11th chapter and verse 1, where the prophet says, "When Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." And then he goes on in that same context and says in verse 7, "My people are bent on turning from me." Looks like I got ahead of myself, did it? All right. "My people are bent on turning from me." Now, God was a great father, and yet they were terrible children. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 26, which you just saw, "I planted you a choice vine, a completely faithful seed. How then have you turned yourself before me into the degenerate shoots of a foreign vine?" It was not God's fault what Israel chose to do. It says in this passage, "How have you turned yourself before me?" Certainly it was their choice. It was their decision to go in the direction that they did. Our God loved his child. He provided for his child. But Israel chose to turn his back on him and pursue his own selfish and destructive ways. He defiantly told his father in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 20, "I will not serve." And the people of Israel were called stupid children. We don't like to hear that terminology anymore. It's too offensive, people say. But that's what they were called, at least in Jeremiah 4:22, in the New American Standard. In some other translations, they're referred to as silly children or foolish children. But certainly we get the picture, and they're people with a stubborn and rebellious heart, Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 23. In Isaiah, the 5th chapter, the prophet pictured Israel as a grape vineyard on a very fertile hill, should have produced all kinds of grapes, beautiful, tasty grapes. Stones were removed. The choicest vines were planted. Israel had every reason to produce good grapes, but instead, it produced only worthless ones. Was God a bad parent? No, not at all. Is our Heavenly Father a bad parent today when one of his adopted children apostatizes? Now, I really realize that God is perfect as the parent, and we are not perfect as parents. I'm certainly not minimizing the importance and the effectiveness of good Christian parenting. I know that there are many who have been involved in your child's life and taught them the Bible and read the Bible to them and taught them how to pray and talked to them about living moral and godly lives. We have tremendous responsibilities in teaching and living Christianity as an example to our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. But when faithful Christian parents have truly tried to bring up their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, they must not burden themselves with unwarranted guilt if their children choose to depart from God. Certainly you will hurt for them. You will be concerned for their spiritual welfare. You will pray for them daily that the Lord will provide the way and the means for them to return to Him. But just as you have made a choice, your adult children will also choose which lifestyle they will follow and where they will spend eternity. I may have shared this with you one other time. It is written by Ferris J. Smith. It's entitled, Blaming Godly Parents for Ungodly Behavior. There's something going around among some young people which not only is inhuman and grossly unkind, but it is plainly not so. A person decides to quit the church and launch out into the world of sin and shame. When approached by some interested person, he says, I've had religion crammed down my throat all my life. Thus, his poor old parents, whose hearts are already breaking for him, are made to take the blame for what he is. How inhuman and cruel can one be? I had food rammed down my throat all my life, and I still eat. I was made to comb my hair and take a bath all my life, and I still bathe and comb my hair, and for that we're thankful. My mother tried in an uneducated sort of way to teach me right from wrong. And though I've done things wrong, it never crossed my mind to blame my mother for any misbehavior on my part. My wife and I never rammed religion down our children's throats, unless that is what you call trying to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We do admit that the first place we took our babies was to church. We gladly admit that we tried to teach them the Bible. We tried to teach them right when it was necessary, and we would do it now if we could. And if that is ramming religion down our children's throats, we plead guilty. I pray for a lot more guilty parents and grandparents and great-grandparents to teach, to train, to love children. I hope that maybe this has been beneficial to you this morning. I hope that if there is someone here this morning who needs to become a Christian, that you're willing to do that at this time, to be baptized into Jesus Christ so that your sins can be forgiven. Or if there's someone who needs the prayers of the church, encouragement, we encourage you to come while we stand and sing.